For decades, the patriots of Eastern Europe fought against communism. Despite the threat of imprisonment and near total censorship, they continued to speak out. They called themselves dissidents. Ultimately, they prevailed against tremendous odds. Now, at long last, American patriots are speaking out against the forces that are destroying this country. This program is the voice of those patriots. This is American Dissident Voices. Your host is Kevin Alfred Strom.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you that there is evil in high places in America today. There is an evil which has taken our grief over the dead in Oklahoma City and is using it cynically to advance its political agenda. There is an evil which has gradually stripped us of the rights won for us by the blood of our fathers, and which is now using our grief over the innocent dead to manipulate us into giving up those two final strongholds of American freedom, the First and Second Amendments to our Constitution. There is evil in high places, ladies and gentlemen, because there has been a revolution in this country, and the American people lost. It was a revolution in which the old forms of the American government were retained, but the substance was replaced. You have probably never been told about this revolution. A telling mark of its arrival, though, is the fact that we must now celebrate one of its heroes' birthdays as a national holiday, while the heroes of the old America, like Washington or Columbus, are reviled or quietly forgotten. The writer Garrett Garrett said, "There are those who still think they are holding the pass against a revolution that may be coming up the road, but they are gazing in the wrong direction. The revolution is behind them. It went by in the night of depression, singing songs to freedom." There are those who have never ceased to say very earnestly, "Something is going to happen to the American form of government if we don't watch out." They had forgotten their Aristotle. More than 2,000 years ago, he wrote of what can happen within the form when, quote, "one thing takes the place of another so that the ancient laws will remain, while the power will be in the hands of those who have brought about revolution in the state," close quote. In the 1960s, Jewish leftists like Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman encouraged the storming, occupation, and even bombing of campuses and government facilities by student radicals. These Jews were leaders of what came to be called the counterculture, a revolutionary communist beachhead among American youth. They enlisted impressionable students, Bill Clinton among them, in their program. They depraved our young people with drugs and illicit and interracial sex. They propagandized them into believing that white America was the cause of every social problem. After a few years of this propaganda, young white Americans could be heard applauding enthusiastically when Jewish Marxist Susan Sontag described the white race as a, quote, "cancer on the earth." They encouraged the use of the disparaging term "pig" to describe police officers, with the phrase "off the pigs" becoming a rallying cry among the more radical elements of this engineered youth rebellion. You know what "off the pigs" means. It was a call to kill the police for no other reason than because they were the police. The impressionable students didn't know it, but their revolution was planned by an element of the establishment they thought they hated. Their rebellion was part of a larger revolution which was being consummated in American life. The takeover of America by aliens and the traitors who serve those aliens. This alien takeover of America was engineered and executed by the same forces who had slain the Tsar and the Russian royal family and brought the scourge of communism to Europe. In Russia, they murdered nobles, independent farmers and businessmen, and the intellectual elite, and established an openly revolutionary regime. All persons of proven superiority had to be liquidated there, because they could have formed an effective resistance to the new Jewish tyranny. In America, their techniques were different, because the situation was different. In America, they found that these elite classes could be bought or fooled so easily that it was really unnecessary to kill them. They found a ruling class so utterly bereft of a living culture and tradition that literally millions of its sons could be recruited to the Jewish revolutionists' cause by the most transparent of sophistries. They found a nation so fatally gullible that it was willing to send its sons to be slaughtered in a war the stated purpose of which was to end war. As the late Professor Revelo Oliver has stated, they were very much like bank robbers who arrive at the bank to find the guard asleep, the vault left open, and the bank president more than willing to help them for a percentage of the loot. Of course, a number of lies have to be told to soothe the concerns of the depositors, and a few who won't shut up might have to be smeared or jailed, but really, that is about all. In the early years, many of the conspirators openly called themselves communists. But when that label became a liability, they dropped it, some dubbing themselves conservative or liberal or progressive virtually overnight. The revolutionists' willing instruments were Wilson, the second Roosevelt, Eisenhower, and willing or unwilling, every other president since 1933. In the 1960s, this revolution was not yet complete. The police still embodied, to some extent, the old order, traditional American values, resistance to at least some of the revolutionists' demands. So they were demonized as pigs. Pigs that had to be offed. How different is the situation today? The Jewish revolution is now complete. It is now impossible to be elected president or even to hold any office of real importance if you are critical of Jews or other minorities. The Jewish revolution is now complete. Millions of Americans hide their true opinions of the multicultural program to make America a third world nation, believing that criticizing this program might cost them their jobs or worse. The Jewish revolution is now complete. No corporation, large or small, dares to question the policy of preferential treatment for non-whites and perverts. They know that the media and the government would destroy them if they refuse to cooperate. No matter what they privately believe, the corporate officers utter, with disingenuous unction and predictable regularity, the shibboleths about diversity in the workplace, progress toward hiring more minorities, no discrimination based on sexual preference, etc., etc. The road to favorable treatment by the media and the IRS is paved with corporate contributions to the Rainbow Coalition, the Gay Games, and worse. The Jewish revolution is now complete. The gutter radicals and their allies now dominate and largely run the universities they once were bombing. The Jewish revolution is now complete. The Red Guards at the Department of Housing and Urban Development want the power to jail those who oppose the construction of black housing projects or AIDS hospices in their neighborhoods. The Jewish revolution is now complete. A tax and economic system is in place, which, while keeping the middle class for the time being well supplied with TV, professional sports, and beer, effectively prevents the rise of any too independent wealth who are not already part of the power structure. The Jewish revolution is now complete. Both political parties are bought and paid for. Both political parties know that to oppose organized Jewry is to be destroyed politically by the greatest financial, media, and political combine ever to exist on this planet. I have said it before, but it bears repeating. If you want to know who are the true rulers in any society, you need only ask yourself this question: who is it that I am not permitted to criticize? My fellow patriots, no one has suggested laws to prevent you from criticizing the Council on Foreign Relations. No one is pushing for legislation to put you in jail if you criticize the Trilateral Commission. No one has said that criticizing Clinton or Gingrich ought to be made a crime. You all know who it is that we must not criticize. You all know who it is that now calls for censorship of the airwaves, censorship of computer networks, of radical books, of public speech of every kind. They care nothing for dead children in Oklahoma City or Waco, any more than they cared for the little boys seduced by perverts or little girls violated by black rapists in the wonderland of diversity they have brought about. They want to make it a crime to criticize the Jewish revolution and its agenda. They even have ready-made smear words for opponents of their revolution, for patriots who want our republic back. They call us anti-Semites. They call us haters. They call us Nazis. And there, the debate is supposed to end. There, all right-thinking people are supposed to turn away in horror and go back to MTV. There is no evidence. No evidence at all connecting the Oklahoma terror bombing to anyone with pro-white views. But the Jewish media masters grasp at every straw. They lie outright to make such a connection in the minds of the public. They are preparing the ground for making it illegal to criticize them or their agenda. They are delighted at the terror bombing in Oklahoma City. They benefit. Their political agenda will be advanced. Through their controlled media, they can direct the anger of the public in the desired direction. They may well get their laws, allowing them to jail those who utter or print what the organized Jewish groups call hate speech. There is not the slightest evidence that guns were used in the Oklahoma City terror bombing. Yet, the Jewish masters and those who dance to their tune are transported with glee as they use this incident to manipulate us like a herd of sheep into the corral of more and more gun laws, a corral which leads to slavery and the slaughterhouse. The Washington Post reported yesterday, quote, Ronald K. Noble, Undersecretary of Treasury for Enforcement, told a congressional panel that the annual toll of bombings in the United States had more than tripled in the past decade, reaching a high in 1993 with 49 deaths and 1,323 injured. And there are believed to be several hundred violent white supremacist groups in the country, along with a military movement in at least 34 states that is virulently anti-gun control and anti-federal government, he said, close quote. Lies, lies, lies. Notice the tie-in between over 1,000 bombing victims and white supremacists and militias, which Mr. Noble suggests but does not explicitly state. He does not explicitly state it because no such link exists. Not a single one of those people was killed by a militia member or a so-called white supremacist. Someone is lying to you, my friend. And what do the liars want? According to wire service reports, President Clinton has called for money to hire 1,000 new agents, a wider range of electronic surveillance, stiffer penalties, relaxed standards for allowing infiltration and informers, increased ability to trace phone calls and check credit card and other records, and use of the military in domestic cases. Use of the military against American citizens. That has got to be the final straw. In Waco, they insisted that U.S. Army insignia be removed from the equipment before it was to be used. But perhaps in future, that will no longer be necessary. As in the Soviet Union, the people may become inured to the use of the army against citizens. The Jewish revolution is now complete, but the revolutionists feel far from secure. Now that they are in power, their main concern is staying there. Now that they feel that they have most of us fooled, those who once urinated on the American flag, those who cried, "Off the pigs," in the name of absolute freedom, are now calling for the greatest increase in police power in American history. They are pushing for their so-called anti-terrorism bill. They want more black-helmeted goons working for nameless agencies most of us haven't even heard about, armed with automatic weapons which we are not allowed to have, with the legally sanctioned power to attack and possibly kill Americans that criminals like Janet Reno or Bill Clinton or their hidden masters merely suspect of lawbreaking. They want the power to unilaterally declare without trial that certain groups are, quote, terrorist, unquote, and criminalize Americans who donate to them. They want to subject patriotic, loyal Americans to the most advanced spying, wiretapping, and surveillance apparatus that has ever been known. They want carte blanche to infiltrate agent provocateur into groups they merely suspect of lawbreaking. And who do you think Bill Clinton and Janet Reno and their masters would so suspect? The mafia? Jewish organized crime gangs in New York or Los Angeles? Homosexual activists who fling AIDS-infected blood at innocent churchgoers? Jamaican cocaine dealers who kill almost with impunity on our city streets. No, it is you and I. It is anyone who opposes their evil agenda. It is anyone who wants a return to the values that made America great. It is against us they would turn loose their gun-toting secret police. They would take away the last of our freedoms, the freedom to speak. And they would frame, they would plant evidence, they would lie, they would kill to stay in power. They would even kill children. They have already done so. Bill Clinton has directed the FBI to do, quote, anything and everything to combat terrorism, close quote. Anything. Everything. No mention of the rule of law. No mention of constitutional rights. To Bill Clinton, the Holocaust at Waco, in which agents of the federal government incinerated 90 innocent people, including 17 children, was not terrorism. To Bill Clinton, the law is whatever his handlers tell him it is. It is unthinkable to give such monsters any power over us. Yet as I speak, evil men in high places are flashing images of dead children before our eyes, again and again and again. And they are telling us that to prevent this from happening again, we must give these monsters the legal power to invade our homes, to spy on us, to take away our weapons of self-defense, to intimidate and enslave us without regard for our sacred rights, won at the cost of so much blood by our ancestors. It may be unthinkable, but that is what is happening. Our people, most of them good folks, conservative, with healthy values, are letting a gang of aliens and traitors manipulate them into giving up their freedoms, manipulate them into hating anyone who would save them. Those good folks, those conservative Americans, do not understand that there has been a revolution in this country and that they lost. They still think that they are holding the pass against a revolution that is still to come. They still think that this is their government, that the politicians and the talking heads represent them, that they have a choice at the ballot box, that the newspapers and television networks controlled by a cohesive alien minority constitute freedom of the press. If these good people can be made to see what is really happening to their nation and the horrible fate in store for their children if organized Jewry has its way, they will join us in our battle to restore America. Do not be intimidated. Speak out against the killers of innocent children, no matter who they are. Don't let liars like Clinton and Reno and Brokaw and Chung and Rather into your homes anymore. Don't let them tell you that we must rally behind America's enemies to save children's lives. That is the most despicable lie that I have ever heard in my entire life. Speak up more strongly than ever against the criminals in Washington. Speak out against those who would turn our beloved America into a brutal third world police state. More than ever before, bring truth-telling literature and tapes into the homes of your friends, neighbors, and family. Explain to them in words they can understand, no matter how hard it is or how long it takes, what I have told you in this radio program. Never give up. Never give in. Never hide your point of view. Never allow a day to go by in which you do not bring the truth to at least one new person. Use the wonderful resource of the computer networks that are so far free from Jewish censorship to spread our message of truth and hope to our people. For $10, I will send you our item number 551. Two computer diskettes, literally filled with articles and transcripts of American Dissident Voices programs. Send us the largest donation you can afford to support this unique radio program. If you send $25 or more and ask for our radio offer number 4, I will send you a copy of our huge collection of our best articles printed over a 12-year period. Annoy Janet Reno by making this the best year ever for our show. For $12, I will send you a cassette copy of this radio program. Subscribe to our newsletter, Free Speech, for just $40 per year. And order bulk copies of it and of our low-priced pamphlets to distribute in your neighborhood. A sample of each of our pamphlets is just $1 as our item number 593. Please answer my call. A yearly subscription to our newsletter, Free Speech, is just $40, less than the monthly cable TV bill of many of you. Our radio offer number 4, a patriotic book which college professors have told us was more valuable to them than their entire graduate education, is a mere $25, less than many families spend on a single restaurant meal. A collection of our pamphlets, item number 593, is only $1. less than the cost of a gallon of gas or a couple of candy bars. I ask you to stand up for America and for freedom today. Our address is National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. Our announcers will repeat the address in a few moments. Truth is convincing, and courage is contagious. Our people will know in their hearts that we are right when they finally hear or read what we are saying in unedited, uncensored form. It is what they have longed to say themselves for years, but we could not find the words. It is what they have known was true all along, but their miseducation at the hands of liberals left them without the knowledge or the vocabulary to articulate it. When they realize that hundreds of thousands of us are speaking out, they will join us. And when enough of them do that, we will be the state. The American government will once again be in the hands of true Americans. The outward-bound 747s will be struggling to leave the runways by the hundreds every day, overloaded with traitors and alien subversives and their ill-gotten lucre, heading for Israel or elsewhere where their evil revolution may still be in power. But the Jewish revolution will be finished here. America will be America once again. And our sons and our daughters will be able to look with clear eyes into a future once again brighter than the sun.
You have been listening to American Dissident Voices,
a beacon of truth for patriotic Americans and for patriots of our Western civilization around the world.
American Dissident Voices depends upon the voluntary support of its listeners to stay on the air.
Please send the largest gift you can afford today.
Send $1 for a book and tape catalog listing over 300 titles that the controlled media don't want you to see.
Our overseas listeners can substitute 2 international reply coupons for the $1. For a gift of $12 or more, you can receive a high-fidelity cassette recording of today's program.
Please give us the call letters of this station, the subject of the program, and today's date.
Write to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
And until the next broadcast, this is Richard Cotton reminding you, as always, freedom is not free, free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
This program is pre-recorded and due from the United States of America.